the street.
On the dark end of the street.
To the bright side of the road.
To the bright side of the road.
To the dark end of the road.
On the bright side of the road.
On the dark end of the road. On the dark end.
Cares wins with your host Angela Bryer Stevenson on Channel Radio.
Yes, it's me, Angela Bryer Stevenson, the Jan Mulligan, the co-host, the wonderful guest presenter. As you may or may not know, dear Jan has had to depart from the show for a little while, a little sabbatical, while she has won a contract and therefore is not with us in the studio for the next few Mondays. So she'll be back at some point. We wish her well with her work. But in the meantime, it's little old me, and I will be having some guest presenters in the future. So watch this space, and there may be some other voices over the Channel Radio airwaves. But good afternoon, good morning, wherever you're listening to us. It is the Who Care Wins show, Who Cares Wins show, and that is all to do with health and well-being. Health and well-being show, anything and everything to do with health and well-being, whether you are an employer, an employee, a self-managed person running your own business, sole trader, little partnership, enterprise, or you are at home thinking about changing career, or you are, more importantly, mums and dads who are at home doing a very important job and bringing up those marvellous children for our tomorrows, our leaders of tomorrow. So welcome. Thank you for listening and tuning in. And I have some great guests for you this afternoon, two wonderful people sitting opposite me in the studio. And I'm going to tell you a little bit more about them. Well, in fact, they're going to do it, and I'm going to sit back, put my feet up. But before I do, remember, as always, we have all the contact mechanisms here in Channel Radio all ready to go. If you want to contact us, remember, we have probably the best way is via Twitter. So if you're on Twitter, remember, follow us at CaresWins and post us a tweet. Say hi. Give us a health and well-being tip. Maybe a shout out for an event or something you know about, maybe even charity. It's linked to a charity. Let us know and we'll give it a shout if we get the time. If not, I will always retweet and post it on our Facebook page. If you're on Facebook, you can follow our Facebook page, Who Cares Wins Radio Show. Give us a like, say hi, post your comments or your welcome news or even your event. Just share it on our page. And of course, the good old email, Who Cares Wins. So studio@whocareswinsradio.co.uk. And finally, if you want to go down the old-fashioned route and give us a ring, call us on 01303 874 998. And as long as I see the flashy light, I'll answer the phone. And then press the right buttons, of course. So that's all the contact details. Remember, do give us a shout. We're on here till 1 o'clock, and then you've got some great shows following us later on Channel Radio. But for the meantime, let's talk to our guests. So I have in the studio, big drum roll, thanks to Jan, because she met these lovely people at the Wellbeing Symposium back in November. And it is Barry and Jan, or should I say Jan and Barry, from JW Training Limited. So welcome to the studio. Welcome to Channel Radio.
Thank you.
I understand you probably got here faster than normal with the wind speed today.
Yes. Absolutely.
So you zoomed down the motorway, but no more than 70 miles an hour, I trust.
Within the speed limit.
Yes, good, good. Can you still hear me? Is that,
coming
through a bit better? Yeah. Good. So I need to find out a little bit first of all. JW Training, I understand, had a little birthday the weekend, was it?
Yeah.
2 years old. So big congratulations.
Thank you. You've been going now
for 2 years, which is amazing. Because did you know statistics in the first year, most businesses?
I know.
So you're over that hurdle.
Hopefully.
That's it.
Yeah.
World domination next. Now, before you set up JW Training, it's a training services company, but it specialises, doesn't it? Barry or Jan, who wants to just highlight the main sort of snap line of what JW Training Limited does?
Well, we like to think we are specialists in emotional wellbeing or emotional first aid, which is where we come from. It's very much around mental health issues. We run various programs to support, basically build people's confidence.
Great, yeah.
That it's a subject that still has, sadly, a stigma attached to it.
It is.
It's just getting people to try and openly talk about it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always fix a problem immediately, but it's a step in the right direction.
And of course, it's that sort of link with stress management. I know that my exposure with running workshops, you know, it is a stigma. Sometimes that word, people say, oh, I'm not going on that course. I'm not stressed. You know, I'm all right. But actually, by the nature of our world, we're always stressed. You can't actually say you're not. Send me someone that isn't and I'll try and find something. Now, before I go into the detail of what you offer, because I'm fascinated by this emotional first aid kit that you have on your website. I think that's great. What got into, you set your business up 2 years ago. Obviously, your husband and wife, team, which is also fantastic.
And but we're maybe, still talking.
Well, look, this is amazing, listener. So it could be that there's some hints and tips we need to share with our listeners on husband and wife partnership in business. Because it is 24/7 for you two, then.
Yeah.
There we've
is
been
no less
married,
up.
What are we, 33 years?
Congratulations.
Together for 40.
So there's definitely a magic formula there.
Wow.
But is it, so have you both been in training before you set up the business, or is this just a passion that you've both met and decided this is what we need to offer?
My background is 20 odd years in training. First 10 years of that was corporate.
Oh, yes.
Worked with Lloyds TSB, Barrett Homes, as well as Bentley Motors.
Yes, yes.
10, 12 years ago, I moved into the voluntary sector, charity sector.
Yeah.
And within that time, I've now worked with ex-offenders, drug and alcohol dependents, long-term unemployed single parents, as well as suicidal and self-harming individuals.
Crikey.
So when you sort of strip it back to its bare bones, it's emotional well-being.
Yeah.
It's emotions that drives people's behaviours. And so we got into that about how we understood it, how we can actually help people support it. Like I said, we can't fix it straight away, but if people can listen, then it might be a first step to help someone recover from
real food for thought, isn't it?
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, because I know with my background and my current work in emotions, and also just with my practices of mindfulness and yoga, you know, emotions, and I always laugh when I'm running training courses because, and I'm sure you've come across this, where bless the managers, they send their employees on a course and they believe they're going to be cured.
Yes.
Even if it's, I mean, a full day course, let alone a half day course.
Yeah.
Or even a 2 hour workshop.
Yeah.
With a half hour coffee break.
That's it. Yeah. And they come back. Are you cured now? You know, oh, great. You've had a good day out. Now back to work. Yeah. And it's like, well, now actually, this is where the work starts happening when you get back to the desk. So it does make me smile. And I'm sure you've got some wonderful stories. We'll share those after the break,
after
the show. Yeah. So Jan, similar background or different?
Different, really. Mine comes from a long-term condition background. I was diagnosed with ME 20 odd years ago.
Did you hear Miriam last week?
No, I didn't.
Oh, the wonderful Miriam McGuirk, who is a wonderful, wonderful author, a lovely lady as well, very inspirational. She talks about and shares stories about her living with ME and fibromyalgia.
Yep.
And one of her books, The Shattered Dreams and Scorpions at Midnight, A Search for Sanctuary. Did that by memory, Miriam. I hope you're impressed. And that book actually is about her tale of how she literally came to burnout in the workplace, in corporate.
Yeah.
And obviously then it was in those era, and I'm not sure, Jan, whether yours was similar, but this is what we classed yuppie flu, and people
Absolutely.
Didn't really recognise it or understand it.
Yeah.
And she didn't really know what was going on with herself either. But yes, last week's show was very inspirational, because obviously she's now an author, a very successful author, and also offering support for people who are living with that condition.
Yeah.
But then vice versa, I look at Barry now, because we had Chris, her husband, in, talking from the carer and the supporter's point of view. Because again, we often forget the carer, the person who's there that may be supporting, encouraging, helping.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. There's a theme going on here.
Definitely.
So yes, Jan, so your background there.
And also 8 years ago, I was diagnosed with lupus and secondary Sjögren's. So I have a lot of background. I've been a tutor, helping people with self-management.
Yes.
Very much coming from that background.
Yeah.
And I've also been a mentor. At the moment, I'm a mentor for young people as well. I've been a disability awareness and advisor for the Royal British Legion.
Great.
So I've also done, I'm a training counsellor.
Yep.
So it all came together. We very much complement each other from different backgrounds.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's made it such a success.
Yeah. Was it a sort of one night in the middle, you woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning and sort of looked at each other and said, we need to set up JW training, don't we?
Not quite as that. We sort of thought about it because I worked with Samaritans as their external trainer for 3.5 years.
Right.
So we was dealing with that. But we wanted to think something a bit more locally. Mm-hmm. So sort of around Kent, and we thought about, and we read lots of articles, especially around self-harm behaviours in schools.
Yeah.
And obviously the media and TV would, you know, one day a year they would have an article on this, and it was all in the, you know, sort of news for a day, and then it's forgotten again. But yeah, it's still around. So we wanted to share our experiences and perhaps raise awareness, and that's where it started. You know, based on our success, my success and Jan's success as individuals in our own right.
And what you're doing. Yeah.
And we thought, well, let's try and put something together that will hopefully help meet the current market.
Mm. And we now wish we'd done it earlier.
Yeah.
We do, don't we? It's always like, oh, I wish I'd done this all my life.
Yeah, yeah, because we absolutely love it and we're so passionate about it.
Yeah, I can
and we see.
See
the results.
Mm. Yes.
And it's instant as well because we get evaluation after the courses.
Yeah.
And we have, I don't want to blow our own trumpet here.
You should,
but,
you should. You must. That's
the evaluations, I mean, you get that instant feedback, and it's amazing. It's such a great feeling.
I know from my personal feedback, when you see someone who gets it, that, you know, the person on the course, the participant who really understands and suddenly realizes there's some resources, there's some help, there's things I can do. Ah, it's just, I'm not weird. It's
it
not
is
something
a light.
That I have to, you know, the whole light bulb. And that, I think for me, I think, I don't know about you too, but it's that success moment, really. It's not about the money and the empire and this training company around the world. It is about those individuals that you're looking, to give them that resource to almost create that sustainability and keep going.
It's also the email out of the blue. You get one back, you know, 3 months later from someone you might have trained.
Oh, fantastic.
And you get, oh, by the way, the tip you gave me has helped me in X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
And that they're the real ones that really sort of hit home for us. Actually, we did make a difference.
I'm hoping that the roof is going to stay on the studio a little bit.
I know.
You hear that wind. Yes. I don't know if you can hear it, listener, but we're hopefully, we've battened down the hatches and doors are locked. So hopefully we'll be okay, and that equipment will carry on as well. So, it's a very blustery day in the Winnie the Pooh world. But
definitely kite weather.
Oh, it definitely is, yeah. In fact, that could be the new way of getting to work, couldn't it, rather than using petrol and all of that.
Blow power.
Was it green? Yeah, we have green power of, you know, get yourself on a little skateboard, a little sail, you're off. Excellent.
It's
maybe
great
we should have
vision.
A little separate lane on the M20. Yeah?
It's all green as well.
Exactly.
Great.
Oh, dear. Sad, I know. so let's, first of all, you've talked about music today as well, which is quite linked to your work that you're doing.
Yeah.
And if I may, let's have a music break now, because I'd like to then explore, especially your workshop you do around the emotional first aid kit and the emotional well-being. You do it mainly in...
There I was in full flow, and all of a sudden the lights went out and we plunged into darkness. Yes, we had a power cut, so just had to edit out the gap that we had in the show. But you'll now find that I'm now back in the studio, and then we join a music break with Everybody Needs Somebody by the Blues Brothers.
Yeah. Excellent. We'll be back in a few minutes.
We're so glad to see so many of you lovely people here tonight, and we would especially like to welcome all the representatives of Illinois' law enforcement community who have chosen to join us here in the Palace Hotel Ballroom at this time. We do sincerely hope you all enjoy the show, and please remember, people, that no matter who you are and what you do to live, thrive, and survive, there are still some things that make us all the same. You, me, them, everybody.
signify your feelings with every gentle caress. Together it's so important to have that special somebody to hold, kiss, miss, squeeze, and please.
Gather round.
Mum, good work. Felt door with the back of your hand to see if it was hot. Grabbed baby, straight out to patio. Gran, gold star, and a personal best. Go, girl. Dad, dear, oh dear, oh dear. Left shoes on stairs, blocked hallway with golf clubs. Dad, you're a disgrace to this unit. Again.
Plan an escape route in case of a fire. Practice it, and you'll give everyone a fighting chance of getting out alive. Fire kills. You can prevent it.
Who Cares Wins, with your host, Angela Breyer-Stevenson, on Channel Radio.
Well, that was exciting.
Wasn't
we were
it?
Plunged into darkness, and we had no power at all. We thought, oh dear, should we just go and have a party of our own? But thankfully, all my prayers were answered, and we only had a short blip here down on the farm in the marsh. The wind had its way, but hopefully it's passed on by now, and we can continue our wonderful show here on channelradio.co.uk with me, Angela Breyer-Stevenson. It's Who Cares Wins. It's all about health and well-being, and today our focus is about mental well-being. So I have in the guests in the studio today my wonderful guests of Barry and Jan from JW Training Limited. So let's go into detail now about your actual offerings, because you do lots of workshops, you work across all sorts of organisations and charities and voluntary sectors. But one of your sort of key promotions, and I see on your website the little badge, I love the little badge, and it says this emotional first aid kit.
Yeah.
Explain to us, because everyone's aware of a first aid kit in an organisation, but you've made the link across that, yeah, actually organisations maybe should have another type of kit.
Yeah, I mean, the law, I mean, if you think about the large companies, the Health and Safety at Work Act talks about, you know, stopping people putting over cables on the floor and having the right chair to sit in to prevent backache. And it talks about all the physical bits. What it hasn't addressed for many a year, and it is getting better, is the emotional well-being of the person sitting in that chair.
Yep.
And when we think about what runs organisations, it's people.
Mm.
It's not the best IT system or not the best chair to sit in. It's people. So we think about raising awareness that actually, you know, we all have good days and bad days, but depends on where we are, certain things can trigger us. And what might be a shrug of the shoulders to you, the same incident to me, might be the worst thing that ever happened to me.
Mm.
And it's understanding the link between the two, because underlying all our programs is we talk about our own emotions, but more importantly, our default emotion. And many of us have a range of emotions, guilt, blame, frustration, and everything like that. But many of us have the similar default emotion that we're under a time of distress, we quickly turn to, and that is anger.
Mm.
And the theory behind it, and when you think about the psychologist reports around it, is that when we think about all the other emotions we want to show people, I'm feeling guilty, I'm blaming myself, they're harder emotions to show you.
Yep.
But do you know when I'm angry?
Yeah, you can
see
it, can't you? You can hear it. Now, Jen, no fighting.
But it's exactly that. We externalise it. It's a natural fight or flight instinct.
Indeed.
And it's understanding some of that, that if we can be more aware of when someone does react to us accordingly, we can manage it slightly differently.
Mm.
Or we perhaps understand it in ourselves while we behave in a certain way.
Yeah.
You know, road rage, things like that. You know, you can come and have a bad day, you know, on the way to work, you get stuck in lots of traffic, and that affects your emotions. But
Absolutely.
Also then, as you come into the workplace, it then affects your behaviour in the workplace.
Because people can arrive and have this horrendous journey, even by train. I know many years ago when I used to commute to London on a regular basis, and it was in the days where we had the snow, and sitting there on the train. Unfortunately, we'd got so far, but we couldn't get any further because the train in front of us had broken down. Then the line, you know, had just frozen over. And so we unfortunately were stuck and we couldn't go back, couldn't go forward. We were just stuck. Now, I chose to see the positive that I've done everything I can to let my client know I can't, I'm not going to be there on time, but I'll get there at some point. So I was able to, thankfully, technology allowed me to ring and let my husband know I'm safe and okay.
Yep.
And then I was looking out the window across this beautiful scene of rolling hills, of field of snow, and beautiful. Mm. But the man next to me was on the verge of, I think, a heart attack.
Yep.
And it was just, he couldn't believe this was happening. And it, you know, I knew this was going to happen. I did think, well, if you knew why you're on the train, but anyway, people just have, it's a quick switch, isn't it?
It's a very quick switch.
And then, of course, how is he going to be when he does get to work?
There you go. And that's the issue, because his behaviours will then affect other people. Attitudes rub off.
Yeah.
You know, if I come in and having a bad day, Jen realises that Barry's having a bad day, so that could affect her having a bad day. And then the people we work with, it has that ripple effect.
Absolutely.
You know, suddenly now the whole office is having a bad day. Well, because I had a bad day.
Yeah, it's like you've infected everybody, haven't you?
But it also works on the other way around. You mentioned about the positive attitude. Yeah. It's understanding what can you control, what can't you control. And there's many things we can't control, yet we spend all our time and, more importantly, mental effort on trying to change the things we can't change.
It's the other thing. Trying to control it all.
Yeah, yes. It's the other way around. Let's look at the things we can change and make things better, but accept the things you can't change.
Yeah.
And, okay, like you said, you sat back, relaxed, looked at the lovely countryside, beautiful picturesque scene,
rather than panic.
You told all the people that you need to. Mm. Why are you going to be late? How are you going to be late?
It's now, the rest of it is beyond, as you say, beyond my control. I can't do anything about that. All I can now do is control how I feel and how I then react.
And that's the key part. If we manage our own emotions, but also when you're supporting other people, especially vulnerable people, it's understanding by an active listening, which you mentioned about that emotional first aid kit. What is active listening? Well, it's just sitting there not saying a word, or is it actually clarifying your understanding? It certainly is.
It's not just the ahas,
no,
is it?
No, it's understanding what someone might say. You know, we mentioned before that English is one of the easiest languages to learn, yet probably one of the hardest to understand.
Oh, yes.
Because a phrase, if you raise the tone, change your word slightly, it can be misunderstood.
Yes.
And if I said
I did not cause that power cut.
Yes.
I did not cause that power cut.
There you go.
I did not cause that power cut.
So straight away now you've got different interpretations. How that person might interpret it is now taking them to a different way they might respond to you.
Yes.
And now the way you respond to me, if you shout at me, I shout back at you.
Yeah.
And now something is escalated out of control.
Yeah.
So we try and identify, actually, we are emotional creatures. That's what makes us wonderful, caring individuals. Also unique individuals.
Yeah.
But at times, we lose control.
We do. And I know I'm very guilty of it. I was told yesterday, you know, stop shouting. I was like, oh, I didn't realise I was.
And that's it. People don't realise, especially when you mentioned stress earlier, many people will recognise the stress in other people first before they recognise it in themselves.
In themselves, yeah.
And it's too late.
Yeah.
And they're the
ones. It's already come out my mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when we default to our default emotion, which is anger, I'm sure hands up included, have you ever said or done anything you later regret?
Yeah, sure.
And it's too late.
Yeah.
You've said it, isn't it? Yeah, you've said it, you've done it, and that person's now heard it, seen it.
Reacted, responded.
And they might judge you on it.
Mm.
You know, your relationship going forward, they like you, they dislike you, or whatever. And if they don't quite understand the bits behind it, the bad day you've had leading up to it, you know, their response could be very different. And it's just understanding we all will have difficult circumstances.
Absolutely.
Relationship breaks down, house moves and everything else. But you also have all these emotions attached to them. And we all have these emotional triggers. And, you know, especially around a bereavement, we might have a date, a time, a song that takes us back to a good memory of that individual.
Yes. Yeah.
But on the other side, it might be a certain trigger, a person's name that suddenly changes your behaviour, an office you might go into, and a date, and all these things. And sadly, we talk about the tragedies around the world, the 9/11 and the 7/7.
Oh, yes.
You know, and September, a friend of ours, you know, it was in New York for 9/11. He wasn't in the Twin Towers, but experienced all that went on.
Right.
But leading up to September, that first week of September, the same images are on the telly, the same stories, Ground Zero. So where does that take him back? And, it moves him. We use something called the emotional health scale, and it moves him up and down that. And that's okay, because that makes us human.
When you say the emotional health scale, is that something that people can find themselves?
It comes in various forms. It's not our idea. I mean, lots of organisations use it.
Right.
But it's understanding it's a sliding scale that if you're in the top half, the green zone, you're in a good place.
Okay.
Yeah, but as things slowly chip away at your emotional health, you could slowly move down that.
So is that similar to the Holmes and Rahe life inventory of sort of stress events? So if you had, you know, it scored points, didn't it? And if you had bereavement going on in the year, so if you had a bereavement, you've maybe got divorced, you've changed career. So that some of them are positive in my eyes. You know, if you've changed career, changed job, or maybe your child has gone to university, so they've left home. There's all sorts of things. It all goes all the way down to prison sentence, all sorts of things. And you get points, don't you? And then I always used to joke with my class participants that please, this is not a checklist, and it's also not points make prizes, because the Holmes and Rahe sort of inventory would dictate to you if you had a high score of over 300, I think it was.
You had
a susceptibility to stress-related illnesses that, you know, may be attacking your immune system, and you're finding that you're getting all the flus every time they're around, and you're getting the coughs all the time. So your immune system could be being attacked. So is it similar to that?
It's sort of like an identifier? It is an identifier. We have a elongated triangle, for want of a better description.
All right.
And on the top
an
part,
equilateral one?
No, it's a squashed one.
Okay. Oh, I like that term.
Triangle. But on the top end of the green zone, like I said, people are in a good place. I suppose it's like the way I describe it on the training is everyone drives an emotional car through their lives. And at times you might speed that emotional car up.
Yes.
And at times you might slow that emotional car down. And when you slow your emotional car down, you're in total control. You're driving at 10 mile an hour. You're in total control. You have a wider perspective on life, but more importantly, a clearer perspective on life.
Mm. And be able to react to things
as a shrug of the shoulders. Absolutely. Yeah. You see it clearly. But as things chip away at your emotional health, and that could be a family issue, it could be a relationship, but it's all sorts of different circumstances. You slowly slide down that emotional health scale. And it's unlikely someone will go from the top of the scale down to the bottom in one event.
Yes.
It can happen.
It can happen,
but it's normally
yeah.
chips away. Mm. And suddenly, when you're at the lower end of the scale, you're now driving your emotional car 120 mile an hour.
Yeah.
And all your peripheral vision is gone.
Mm.
And all you're now focusing on are the problems that lie ahead.
Mm.
And even if someone's trying to support you, you're not listening, because all you can see is problem after problem after problem. And sadly, in some cases, and some of the causes we run, people are actually hanging on to dear life.
Yeah, that's the what-if type scenario as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
Whole sort of, well, what if this happens, and what if this goes wrong, and what if that comes around the corner, and what if, you know, what if my car breaks down, and what if it runs out of petrol, and what if I loosen my leg to brake, and what if, which I'm not saying that we shouldn't risk assess, and we shouldn't think about planning, and, you know, what are the risks? If I jump off the top of the roof, is that a good idea? Think about that. Maybe I'll put, you know, a parachute on, and I'll put a cushion to land on, and take those risks away. So I'm not saying don't do anything. But also the other side of it is that we can get very caught up in the whole, what if. And then in my world especially, I'm very key and learning still. I'm not perfect by any means or shape or form, but actually learning to become present with, well, what's happening now?
That's the key
part. I can almost, not necessarily always control though, Barry, but as you said, what's going on here that I can either work with or I can respond to? As to whether it's me or maybe they're helping an individual in the organisation.
And that's the key part, is when they are in a good place, you know, they have a wider perspective on life.
Yeah,
and like you
yeah.
say, they can actually see several different solutions to a problem.
Mm.
When you're low on the emotional health scale, perhaps sadly the only solution is, with the suicide people we work with, is not to be here.
No.
And they think that people would be better off without them. And it's very hard when they're that low, to try and perhaps bring them up that emotional health scale. And the theory, if you do bring them up a little bit, perhaps we do slow their emotional car up a little bit.
Yeah.
Perhaps they're in a better position to take on board what people might say.
Yes.
And the support people might give, knowing actually I can turn to someone to talk.
I can ask for help.
That's the key part, ask for help. Don't be afraid to ask for help. And many people, sadly, with the experience I had with Samaritans, when we were talking to people, a lot of them actually said, unless I had someone to talk to, probably I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
And that's the old phrase,
yeah.
A problem shared is a problem halved.
Definitely.
It doesn't fix the problem. But it's that externalisation.
Mm.
You know, we all have our muddled up thoughts and we can't make sense of them.
No. And often it's good to be a neutral person, I presume, as well. So like yourselves on your courses, et cetera, and I'm sure with your, you know, the helpline with Samaritan, it's that completely neutral person who knows nothing about you and therefore almost does listen to you and listen, as opposed to, Yeah, yeah, yeah. But can I take your name and account number because I need to get on with my job and I need to service
you. I've got a process to do.
Yeah.
I've got a script to follow.
Exactly. And no offence to those wonderful people that are on those helplines and call centres because they are very frantic and stressful.
Yeah.
But yes, there is that key that we do need to sort of encourage people that at the end of the day, people would like to be listened to. And I think that covers a whole, I mean, I've run communication workshops about the whole aspect of, are you actually listening or are you just hearing? You're hearing noises.
That's the key. You mentioned earlier, it's if you respond to that person first, then the conversation is going to be very different.
Mm.
If I just introduce a process first, absolutely straight away.
Yeah.
And that's, we are emotional creatures. And if I dismissed your emotions, how would you feel towards me?
Mm.
It, again, it would set up the conversation to be very, very different. If you acknowledge and show that empathy, maybe we might have a different conversation that might actually...
But just, if I may, because we are... I mean, it's coming up to 12:45. I can't believe it.
Wow.
So we may have to push your next track of music towards the play out because I'm more concerned on talking to you two. And for our listeners, if a listener is an employee or a manager of a team and one of that team is perhaps displaying such... symptoms, or you know, what sort of signs and things can they look for? Because I've always suggested to people that it's very much about, well, you need to get to know your team and then understand what is not Barry's normal behavior or what is Jan's not normal behavior. Because if Jan's normally quiet, that doesn't mean that she's a stressed person or that she needs help. But if, like I was, Angela would come into work and be, you know, morning and happy and bubbly and get on everyone's nerves, and then one day comes in and doesn't say hello and doesn't say good morning and just goes to a desk, sits down, puts the computer on, carries on working. What's the matter with Angela?
It's difficult because stress will manifest itself very differently in different individuals.
Yep.
And some people might be withdrawn. Other people might become the extrovert.
The extrovert, yeah.
You know, but it's a case of understanding, like you say, the team over a period of time.
Yeah.
And this is the hard part for a lot of managers, because when people are changing over a period of time, they don't see it. If you haven't seen me for 6 months, you might say, Barry, you've changed your hair or you've lost weight. So you see that
instantly.
But over a period of time, that changes, you don't see.
Mm.
And sadly, when it becomes that suddenly that person now off for 6 weeks, 6 months with depression, anxiety, stress, and it's too late.
So what sort of tips, without giving away your complete program on air, because that's not fair, but just what sort of tips for organisations or employers or employees that you offer within your programs and your workshops and the work that you do? What sort of things do you suggest, a couple of hints or nuggets of information that we could maybe tease out of you today?
With one of the manager groups that we work with, we try and get them to do at least once a month sharing session, for want of a better description.
Okay.
And that individual, they can share either through the spoken word or the written word.
Ah.
So it also can be anonymous about the problems that the team might be experiencing.
Yeah.
So, you know, someone may not be willing to come forward and say, oh, I noticed that Jan's not having a tough time.
Yeah.
But they might say one of the team members is having a tough time because of it. And so it gets the manager more aware of what's going on within the team.
Mm.
Because the manager might be there a couple of hours a day while he's going off at other meetings.
Yes.
But, you know, a team of 10 people sit around in...
They're there all the time, aren't they?
Absolutely, and they will pick up on some of these. So it's getting things like... And it's using something what we call visual logic or verbal logic.
Oh, right.
And it's been around years, and people say, well, what's that? And the best way to describe it, I say, well, the visual logic is, do you do a to-do list?
Yep.
Most people do. And that's a visual logic. You're taking your muddled up thoughts from your brain, you stick them on a bit of paper, and hopefully you'll reprocess them. Okay? Verbal logic is exactly the same. You talk about it. You take all your muddled up thoughts, you share it, you talk about it, and hopefully you'll hear it in your own ears, in your own voice, and you suddenly might come up with a different idea, different solution, different way of doing things. So it's good to talk, it's good to write stuff down, and it's just getting the thoughts out. Don't keep them in your head.
No.
Don't be afraid to talk about, actually, you're feeling depressed today. Don't worry about, you know, I'm feeling anxious. Use those words. Don't be frightened to use those words, because they are out there, and they're a reality to us.
And I think coming across, and obviously something that you highlighted earlier, Jan, but also with illness, people suffering with certain conditions, whether they be extreme conditions. We talk about ME. We've talked about fibromyalgia on the show. We've talked about some people name it chronic fatigue syndrome. There's all sorts of... I say issues, I want to say concerns, or there are conditions that people have. Then there's the whole disability realm as well.
Yeah.
Then there's the general menopausal, so I'm going through hormonal stuff, which may affect moods, who knows. So there's that realm of people not feeling oh, this is wrong, you know, I shouldn't be like this.
I think everyone at a certain level will go through that. There's no point in denying that.
Yeah.
But I would say that there is a lot of help out there for various conditions.
Yes.
I've gone through my journey. I've gone through, I've had a lot of help.
Mm.
But I do realise that some people don't feel they have a voice, and it's much harder for them.
Yeah.
That's why I would always suggest that they, even if it's remotely, be part of a group of people, because it's amazing when you start talking and people have got things in common and then they share, and it can be a tower of strength.
It's very comforting, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, I know when I did small business groups, we've been starting up business, and a lot of women would have the necessary, it was a very common feature that they would have this feeling of, oh, well, I'm no good, I'm inadequate, I'm up against this. No offence, Barry, but I'm up against this masculine world of doing business and the way they do it, and I'm just not like that. And actually then hearing other women's stories saying, oh, I feel like that, and I've come up against that, and here's what I've done as well.
Yep.
Then you actually start to build this rapport, but you also start to feel a bit like, actually, yes, I'm not an alien. This is normal to feel these things. Feel, like you said, Barry, to feel these emotions actually means you're human. You're not a robot. I can't just put in the be happy chip today or the focus chip today and don't talk chip. We're not robots. We are human beings who love interaction, who love that human connection.
Oh, yeah.
And
we
like to be liked, don't we?
It is very important, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it's where our passion comes from.
Yeah.
You know, we absolutely love what we do. It's so interesting. And we meet so many different people.
You do.
But they have the human condition in common.
Yeah.
And, that's what just keeps us keep on going, really.
So is it a whole day that you do?
We bespoke our courses to the companies we work with.
Oh, great.
So that's what we're very proud of doing. We have a core offering, but they might, depend on the audience that we're training to. If it's a mixture of managers and front-end staff, it's a different course. If it's just managers. So it will be tweaked accordingly.
And also individuals. So would you work with an individual, so it's not necessarily an organisation that employs you?
We have run open courses
for
individuals, like with the smaller charities when they've only got two or three people.
Yeah.
Then it could be quite expensive.
Because you work with some of the charities.
Yeah, we do a wide range of charities in Kent as well. Porchlight is one. We do a lot of work with the Alzheimer's Society, St. Joseph's Hospice, which is just in Hackney. So again, we're working with different volunteers and also managers as well around a range of different subjects.
We do a lot of open courses with schools for self-harm behaviours in children, which we find is
very interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely needed.
Yes.
So we would do an open course maybe. And have various from different organisations. So it doesn't have to be one organisation.
No, it could be a range that come together as a group, so you don't have enough for one organisation, but if they're quite small...
And people come on that as a taster as well.
They're not sure if
this is right for their organisation. So we
send
one of your staff on one of our open courses. They come along.
And I think I read somewhere, or maybe you were telling me earlier in the green room, but most people, they then want more, don't they? Even if it's a two-hour or half-day workshop, they say, well, this isn't long enough.
This is the buying. The stigma we have with major organisations, especially around mental health.
Investing time, isn't it?
If you were a car salesman and came on my salesman's course...
Yeah,
you
could Aston Martin, is that what you're selling?
Or Bentley's even. You could go back tomorrow and use my skills you learned on the course and sell more cars. So the company can see an instant reply.
It's tangible,
There you go. So that money we've invested in your training has paid dividends.
Yeah, definitely.
With emotional well-being,
so
to attend the course, where does the return come from it?
Mm.
And yes, it could be instant with some people, but it might be over a long period.
Term,
and that's
it?
The key part. It's retaining staff. It's reducing sickness.
Yeah.
It's keeping that person
valuing staff, isn't it?
And that's the key part. But yeah, many organisations still run their budget from April to April or financial budget within a year.
Yeah.
And have we spent enough money? Oh, we can't spend it. And sadly, especially with the mental health awareness, we said, well, we run 2 half-day courses. And we'll have...
Tick box.
Yeah.
Job done.
And that's it. And yet the feedback we get... I wish it could have been longer.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I must admit, it's a big soapbox that I have created over my life. And I'm quite proud to say, and I will say over here, those of you out there, managers, chief execs, organisations who say people are our greatest asset, just reflect. Are you looking after your people?
Absolutely.
How can you prove that they are your greatest asset? It's not always about the bean counters. It's not all. Yes, I'm saying money is important. It's an energy. It's the whole purpose of life goes round. But without those people, you would not be making a profit.
Nope.
So at the end of the day, you need to value those people and you need to value them individually.
Yeah.
I can't say it passionately enough.
No. Amen to that.
Yeah. Praise the Lord and all that.
Yes.
Whoever else is up there, but somebody is looking down on us. Thank you very much for looking after us down here. Time is whizzing away. So can we give a big shout out, because your website is full of information about what you do and the offerings. You go all over the place as well, not just Kent, isn't it? You go everywhere.
Yeah, we've got clients all around the country, from Edinburgh to Glasgow, down to Cardiff. We're down in Exeter next week.
Fantastic.
Hopefully the
winds have passed on from Cornwall.
Absolutely. If there's a need, come talk to us, and if it's something we can help you with, then you we're happy to travel as well.
So our overseas listeners, if you're listening in,
hot places, beaches.
What's the website you've got that you can find out?
Yeah, it's www.jwtraining.org.uk.
Fantastic. We're going to get you on Twitter, aren't we?
We are.
There's a big yes listener. They're going to be on Twitter.
And again, an email is just barry@jwtraining.org.uk.
Fantastic.
So drop us a line if there's anything you need. If we can help, then.
And I love that because it's bespoke. So, do call them, because that's the key around it being they'll talk to you and then they can tweak what they've got as an offer. Don't look at their website and think, oh, well, that's not exactly what I was after.
Yeah, we can definitely pick and mix and just make it just right. Yeah, a lovely little pick and mix.
Marvellous. That's what I love. I love. Well, thank you for joining. Do stay around and we'll do some pictures at the end of the show.
Thank you.
But it's been a pleasure just to sort of, again, scratch the surface of what you do.
Thank you for having us.
Something I'm very passionate about. So it's been a delight to have you both on the show. Thank you, Jan, for talking to you at the Wellbeing Symposium. So you came along today. Yeah. Maybe we need to get you back and we need to do more of Power Gods as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just before we start to disappear then with the rest of the show, we've had Twitter going mad. People have been retweeting and all sorts. The lovely Lisa Settle just caught the end of the show. Big hello and keep up the good work. So thank you very much, Lisa. In fact, Lisa did highlight to me there is a few things going on, one of which is it's actually a charity. You may or may not have heard of them. It's Abigail's Charity, which is the charity that supports families who have had stillborn babies.
Okay.
So Abigail's Charity, if you want to go to abigailscharityevents.co.uk, they are having a ladies at lunch, Jan. So it's just ladies.
Yes, just ladies.
And it's on the 24th of February. Tickets are £100 each, but don't forget this is all to go with charity. And it's actually being hosted by their patron, Lady Astor of Hever. And the welcome drinks will be served at 11:30, followed by a 2-course lunch and wine served at 12 noon. And their guest of honour is their charity vice president, Julie Etchingham, from ITN. So famous people. So lunch will conclude with a brief presentation on the Tower and its jewels, because it is at the Tower of London. So if you don't behave over lunch, downstairs, locked up, key thrown in the river. So that is on the 24th of February. I will post that and share it on our Facebook page for you. But great charity. I've also been notified by a lovely lady who does sound baths up in London. I've personally experienced them with a guy down in Ramsgate whose name's just popped out of my head. I do apologise. A sound bath is not where you get undressed and go in a bath and have water and get washed. But you are washed over with music from the sound bowls, the Tibetan singing bowls, beautiful sounds. But there is a lady that's running a sound bath, but it's also a fundraiser for people of Syria. So she is running the sound bath on, it's the 19th of February from 7 till 9 p.m. and it's at Bermondsey Fair, SE1 3TQ. So it's up in London. I will again post it on our Facebook page, but it's the 19th of Feb, 7 p.m. through to 9 p.m. I can't see the cost immediately here. So again, if I post the link on our Facebook page, then you can follow it to the event. But that is by the lovely lady Ling Mann. She does some beautiful sound baths up in London. I also need to do a big shout out. Remember Hazel Adley last year was on the show. She's still doing her wonderful workshops, How to Create a Life You Love Living. She's now doing it where you actually do a lot of the work with her online. So it makes life even more accessible. Funnily enough, her first one starts tomorrow. So if you are feeling stuck or caged in your life or your business, then Hazel's workshop is definitely for you. It's a good fit if you're needing to rebuild your life after change, or you know that you want to create some change or perhaps a new phase in your life. So if you want to get hold of Hazel, because the first online workshop is running tomorrow at 8 p.m. That's GMT time in the UK. So 8 p.m. Best thing to do is visit her website, Hazel Adley. That's H-A-Z-E-L. Adley is A-D-D-L-E-Y, coaching.com. And you can then find all the information out about how to sign up. If you don't do Tuesday night, tomorrow, you could do Wednesday. The other one I want to shout about, remember, the Wrinkly Road Shows are still touring the Kentish towns. And the next one is on the 11th of March, and that's at Lenham. So it's all to do with helping our more mature community to connect. So we want you to come along, but also anyone that offers advice, help, support, whether it be equipment, home nursing care, residential health care, wellbeing advice, computer advice, fun games and activities, anything might be something that you guys want to go along to in relation to some of the work you're doing with the charities as well on Alzheimer's. But the next one is on the 11th of March. If you want to know more, then again, I will post it on Facebook, but wrinklyroadshow.com is the website to go and have a little look around. And what else have I got here? I did have a couple of notes. I just wanted to know, you know, a bit of my did you know information. This month is the Raynaud Awareness Month, and if you follow on Twitter, the hashtag is Love Your Gloves. Raynaud's awareness is all to do with the lack of blood flow and sensation in the extremities, so fingertips. So it's a great awareness. If you can do anything to raise awareness for it, we'd love to hear what you're doing. So do get in touch with At Cares Wins on Twitter or studio at whocareswinsradio.co.uk to let me know, and I can shout about it and what you're up to. This week, if you're interested in any awareness things and what's happening and you want to get involved, this week is Tinnitus Awareness Week. It's their 10th anniversary, Tinnitus, and it is tfortinnitus.co.uk. T as in a cup of tea. The hashtag on Twitter is T4T, so capital T, 4, number 4, T, Tinnitus. So T for Tinnitus. And don't forget tomorrow, get your frying pans out. It's pancake day tomorrow, Shrove Tuesday, just before we start Lent, if those of you follow it. And of course, more importantly, to finish, we're going to have, if I can get my PC to work, seems to have gone to sleep. If not, I shall just fade in some music as we play out. But do have a great week, everybody. Next week's guest is another lovely lady from a training company called People Face to Face, and they do a lot of work around leadership and management and coaching. They are an ILM accredited firm, so they do a lot of work on coaching programs so managers can become trained in being a coach. So she's going to come along to tell us a little bit about her story also with regards to being gluten-free. And Gluten Free Kent, that she also organises and manages and tweets about, and also her life with a Thermomix, and she is just shouting from the rooftops about how it's helped her with her health and well-being. So that's Trish Stretton next week on the show live on Monday. In the meantime, have a great week. Batten down those hatches if you need to, or get out there and enjoy those cobwebs being blown away. Enjoy the week, everybody, and I'm going to play out if I can with a song. If not, I will just move over to our automated play out. But enjoy the show, and thank you so much, Barry and Jan from JW Training.
Thank you.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes, watching the ships roll in. Then I watch them roll away again, yeah. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, I'm just sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. I left my home in Georgia, headed for the Frisco Bay, 'cause I've had nothing to live for, and look like nothing's gonna come my way. So I'm just gonna sit on the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. I'm sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time. Thank you.
gonna change. Everything still remains the same. I can't do what 10 people tell me to do, so I guess I'll remain the same. Yes, sitting here resting my bones, and this loneliness won't leave me alone. Listen, 2,000 miles I roam just to make this dock my home. Now I'm just gonna sit at the dock of the bay, watching the tide roll away. Ooh, sitting on the dock of the bay, wasting time.
Who Cares Wins, with your host, Angela Breyer-Stevenson, on Channel Radio.
Hello, darkness, my old friend. I've come to talk with you again. Because a vision softly creeping left its seeds while I was
sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked alone, narrow streets of cobblestone, neath the halo of a street lamp. I turned my collar to the cold and damp, when my eyes were stabbed by the flash of a neon light. It split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe more. People talking without speaking, people hearing without listening, people writing songs that voices never share. No one dared disturb the sound of silence. Fool said I, you do not know. Silence like a cancer grows. Hear my words that I might teach you. Take my arms that I might reach you. But my words, like silent raindrops, fell and echoed the wills of silence. People bowed and prayed to the neon god they made, and the sign flashed out its warning in the words that it was forming, and the sign said the words of the prophets are written on the subway walls, tenement halls, whispered.
Positive thinking, that's what I told the man, said, don't wear a frown, try positive thinking, laugh at your troubles instead. You've gotta look on the bright side, on hope so much depends. With your confidence sinking, positive thinking helps you on the way, my friend. When things look black, try positive thinking, treat every season as spring. No glancing back, try positive thinking, trust what tomorrow may bring. This crazy world that we live in will keep on spinning round, but with good, strong, positive thinking, we'll get together and life won't let us down. When you feel down, try positive thinking. That's what I told the man, said, don't wear a frown. Try positive thinking, laugh at your troubles instead. You've gotta look on the bright side, on hope so much depends. With your confidence sinking, positive thinking helps you on the way, my friend. When things look black, try positive thinking, treat every season as spring. No glancing back, try positive thinking, trust what tomorrow may bring. This crazy world, what we live in, will keep on spinning round, but with good, strong, positive thinking, good, strong, positive thinking, good, strong, positive drinking, we'll get together and life won't let us down.
sing like that, don't you?
Yeah, I do.